In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, we see our Lord up a mountain where he multiplies loaves of bread and fishes. And I would like to draw your attention to the fact that Christ is God. He went up to that mountain knowing full well that there was not going to be enough bread and fishes there. There was not enough to feed the multitude that were following him into this mountain. He knew that. He went willingly there. He led these people there. God is not ignorant of what is happening here, but he has a purpose. He has a goal. For if they had not gone up this mountain without sufficient food, without sufficient nourishment, he would not have been able to perform this miracle. He foresaw all of these things. He permits them because he has a goal which perhaps we cannot see. And I believe the same thing happens in our lives over and over again. We come to a crossroad, we come to a difficulty, and we ask, why did God do this? Why would God allow this to happen? And the answer is very simply, because he loves us. And at the moment, it seems very difficult for us to understand. I recall a few years ago going to visit a woman in the hospital who was in a car accident, in great pain. Why would God permit this to happen? Why did God do this? And she was shocked at my answer, because he loves you. He has some goal, some purpose that he will bring good from this. And I know in our pain, in our sickness, in our difficulties, it is hard to see the hand of God there. But yet, the hand of God is there. He knows exactly what he's doing, and we need to trust in him. We need to have, forgive me, the confidence of Job, the patience of Job, the faith of the Blessed Mother. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Everything that happens in our lives, it is all for our good, or it can be for our good. And that is what I would like us to take home today and keep with us, not only during the season of Lent, but for the rest of our lives. That God is in heaven, God is in charge, God knows what he's doing. It doesn't really matter what we think we want. We don't really know what we want. We don't really know what is best for us, but God does. And we need to stop second-guessing him. We need to stop trying to undo what he has done, to avoid what he has prescribed. There's many things in this life that we have no control over, that God has chosen for us. He chose us to be born in this day and age, not 100 years before or 200 years before, not 100 years after. Right here and now is the best place for us, because this is where God has placed us. And children, you have the best parents in the whole wide world, because these are the parents God has chosen for you. And little boys, you're little boys. It's not good for you to be girls, because that's not what God made you. And little girls, you're not made to be boys. Men are not women. Women are not men. Rich people are not poor, and poor people are not rich. And the moment we start saying, well, God made a mistake, God is wrong, we're in big trouble. God knows exactly what he's doing. And all that he does is good. In whatever state of life he has placed you, that's where you belong. And that is where you should seek to serve God. And of course, the other extreme where we say, well, God is in charge, I'm not going to do anything, it's all in his hands. I'll just sit down and wait and see what God tells me to do. And of course, I don't really hear him speaking to me, so I'll do nothing. God has given you a free will. God has given you intelligence. God has given you the ability to act and to do, but most importantly, to serve him, to correspond with the position, the graces that he has given you. If you don't particularly like your situation in life, bear that cross for the love of God. Realize that God is good and this cross is good. It's just what you need. Conform your will to the will of God and choose to love that cross. Choose to embrace that cross. As I preached to you before, the devil's very clever in trying to confuse pleasure and happiness with us. And especially during the season of Lent. Oh, if I could just have that big steak on the feast of St. Patrick. Well, no, it's not steak. It's corned beef and cabbage on the feast of St. Patrick. If I could only have that, then I would be happy. And I say, no, you won't be happy. Even if I were to give a dispensation and say you could have that on Friday, you're not going to be happy. I won't deny you might find pleasure in it. But pleasure and happiness are two very different things. This momentary pleasure is going to pass away. And after you're finished eating, that pleasure is gone. And maybe if you've eaten too much, now you have discomfort. Your discomfort, your pain has nothing to do with happiness. True happiness is a choice. It's an act of the will. And when we start to realize this, we can start to experience true happiness. True joy. It's there for us, even in the midst of sorrows and suffering. The martyrs went to their death singing, rejoicing, even in the midst of the greatest pain and torments that devils could invent. It did not dissuade the martyrs from their happiness, the joy that filled their souls. And to us, it seems inconceivable. How could they do this? For the martyrs, in the midst of their pain, are not thinking of their pain. They're not thinking of their suffering. They're thinking of the joys of heaven that await them after they leave this world. They're thinking of serving God, of offering all this pain in reparation for their sins, for the conversion of sinners, their fellow men. They have something outside of themselves. And for this, there is true happiness. Job could be happy when God blessed him with many material things and there was great pleasure in his life. Job is just as happy when God allows the devil to torment him, inflict all kinds of pain and suffering upon him, make his life in this world miserable, but yet Job is still happy. Job still loves God. Job still serves God. And that happiness is supposed to be ours. But it requires, yes, a little bit of faith. We have to truly trust God. We have to truly believe that He's in charge. This life is not evil. This life is good. It was given to us by God. In philosophy, we look at all the things of this world and we discover that everything is good. Even the pain you feel when you burn your finger, when you cut yourself, when you break your bones, that pain is something that is good. It's not an evil thing. They all have a purpose in God's plan. And I see the children here, they weren't around many years ago when I ran the children's camp. I arranged for a visit to the landfill. And my uncle took us for a tour of the landfill. We walked through the landfill, where there was no shade, and it was in the middle of summer, and it was burning hot. And I remember one of the children asking, "Why does it smell so bad?" And my uncle says, "Maybe we should ask Father Giles that question." And without much thought, the answer seemed obvious to me. Well, are you likely to go and play in this garbage because it smells so bad, or are you likely to turn away and go the other way? There's a lot of disease and danger in this landfill. And if it smelled appealing, you might go in there and get hurt, right? But if it smells repulsive to you, you're less likely to go in there and get hurt. You're less likely to contract some kind of disease, some kind of illness. So you see how good God is. Even in the things that smell bad, God has made them smell bad because He loves us. Because it's good. All things are good. And all things work for the good of those who love God. And so in our own lives, we need to accept that God has made the best possible decision. Whether He's made us male or female, rich or poor, whether He's given us good parents or bad parents, of course there are no bad parents. The only evil is sin. You might have sinful parents, and that is bad. You may have no parents. But whatever it is that God has given us, whatever we see as a difficulty, an obstacle, it is an opportunity that God has given us to love Him, to serve Him, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is the path of our salvation. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's arranging everything perfectly. We just need to get on board with His plan. If He leads us into the desert and there is no food in the desert, we might be bold enough to say, "Lord, we're hungry." But we must have enough faith to realize that He can make manna rain from heaven. He can multiply loaves of bread and fishes to feed us. He'll show us a spring of water coming out of apparently nowhere, or even out of a rock. He will make it happen when we need it. when it is good for us, when it will aid our salvation. We need to have that trust in God, in our own hearts and souls. We need to have that love for God. And then we will find that happiness that we're looking for, where we become indifferent to pain and pleasure. The physical pain and pleasure of this world means nothing. That's not what's important. That's all indifferent. The pain can lead us to God. The pleasure can lead us to God. We should be happy with either one. But then let us begin to help one another. Even if we just have a few loaves of bread and a few fishes, let us not be stingy, but let's see our brother in need and open up our purses, our baskets, our wallet, whatever, and say, "Here, Lord, it's not much. I don't know what good it'll do among so many, but the little bit that I have, I place in your hands." And I'm speaking of the little boy in today's gospel who brought a few loaves of bread and some fishes, probably for his own lunch. He was the only one who brought his own lunch, but yet he put it in the hands of God, and God fed everyone with this little boy's lunch. We too can be that instrument. With what little we have, let us be generous. Let us offer it to our fellow men in need to help them in their time of trials and tribulations. But I think more importantly than even that, let us help our fellow men see that even in the crosses, God loves them. Even when they're laid up in the hospital, it's because God loves them. Even when they've broken their arm, it's because God loves them. Even when there is a daily cross in their lives and life is hard, it's difficult, God loves them. We have to accept this ourselves. We have to believe it. And then we need to spread it among our fellow men to help them see it as well, to help them see that they can find happiness in the cross, in loving and serving God. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.